Good morning, church. Welcome to our online service. If this is your first time, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to know you. There's an online connect card that you can fill out at the end of the service, and our pastors will reach out to you and we can get to know you a little bit more. And we can pray for you if there's anything that we can pray for you for. Today is also communion. So if you haven't already, prepare for yourself some bread, some juice, some grape juice, or any kind of juice would do. And we'll partake the communion together after the sermon. Before we begin to sing praises today, I want to invite you to a time of prayer. I think you and I, we are both somewhat aware of the situation in the world that's going on. Every day when you open up the news or open up the phone app on your phone, you know, the world, it seems like it's always getting worse, you know, like not to be overly pessimistic, but it seems that, you know, everywhere, different areas, different countries, different cities, there's something that's going on in them. And as if the virus isn't bad enough, you know, as if the economic breakdown isn't bad enough, now there are riots everywhere, there are clashes between government and citizens, and there are killing, and there's a lot of violence that's going on. And what is the church supposed to do, right? You know, we're in the series of reaching out, and of course there are things practically we can do, but sometimes, you know, in these cities that are so far away from us, it seems that, oh, there's nothing we can do, so we'll just, you know, just share a little post on Facebook, and that's all we can do. But today I want to invite you to a time of prayer. Prayer is something that we can do. Prayer is something that the church can do to all these issues or all these struggling people. This is something we can do at this time to serve them and to care for them. So today, before we begin our worship service, I want to invite you to a time of prayer first. Let's pray. God, we want to lift the people to you all over the world, the people that are experiencing a lot of unrest, a lot of turmoil, a lot of violence and anger and injustice, and maybe just suffering. God, we want to lift these people up to you. God, I pray that you would deliver them. I pray that you have mercy on them. You know, a lot of these people, they don't know you. So God, I pray that you have mercy on them. And because of your compassion, because of your love for your people, God, you will deliver these people out of their sufferings. And God, I pray that these people will get to know you. I pray that these people, amidst their sufferings, amidst all this violence, they can get to know you and find where the hope is and where the joy is through their suffering. God, we also pray for the church. We pray that the church all over the world will continue to be the light that shines in the darkest places. And God, lastly, we just pray that your name will be lifted high. You know, this is such a difficult thing to pray for. It seems like the world is never putting you in its right place. But God, I pray that you will glorify your name. You will lift your name high. You will make your name be known in this country, in this world that's always going darker. God, may your name be known, and may your kingdom come, and may your goodwill for your people be done in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go on and get ready for worship.
Morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to have you worship with us. Let us rise and give glory to our God.
He became sin. Who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, who broken and poured out, oh, for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Oh, love so amazing. Yeah, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. Oh, the glory to you, God. The light of the world, all our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God. The light of the world, Jesus Messiah, oh, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The Lord of all, the Lord of all. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Thank you. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Oh, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Oh Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. All the glory, honor, and power to our Lord Jesus' name. We worship you. Hallelujah. You're worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Exalting, help me seek your kingdom first. As Jesus walked, so I shall walk, held by your same unchanging love. Be still my soul, oh, lift your voice and pray, Father, not my will but yours be done. Persisted, I may never fully know the fearful weight of true obedience. It was held by Him alone. What wondrous faith to bear that cross, to bear my sin. What wondrous love, my hope was sure. Then my Savior pray, Father, not my will but yours be done. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. Let your name be praised here on earth as in. I'm broken in the night of fear and doubt. Still I will trust in my good Father. Yes, to one great King I bow. As Jesus rose, so I shall rise in ransom glory at the throne. My heart restored with all your saints I sing. Father, not my will but yours be done. Oh, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Let your name be praised here on earth as in heaven. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. Let your name be praised here on earth as in heaven. As we go forth, our God and Father, lead us daily in the fight, that all the world may see your glory and your name be lifted high. And in this name we overcome, for you shall see us safely home. Now is your church, we lift our voice and pray. Father, not my will but yours be done. Father, not my will but yours be done. Father, not my will but yours be done.
Let us pray. Father, not my will but yours be done. God, we pray that this prayer that Jesus once prayed and lived out will be the cornerstone of our prayer in Christian life. May we walk as Jesus walked. May we pray as Jesus prayed. May we love as Jesus loved. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Let us be our prayer as we venture out into this broken world, making Jesus' name known, bringing light and hope in the darkness. So God, we are here. We are here. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I was always a caring child. When I see that something is wrong, I would speak up. And my personal sense of justice was always very strong. When I see someone in need, I would always reach out to help them. And I was taught as a child that I should be aware of those who are less fortunate around me, be aware of those people who needs help, who are always around me. So even though my family was not a rich family, I have a fond memory. I have this memory that every year, there's this one Sunday that we would gather at the back of the church, and there'll be different pictures of children posted at the back of the wall. And those pictures were pictures of kids who were from Cambodia, from Vietnam, from Myanmar, from Thailand. So they were the children who were less fortunate and lacked certain basic necessities. So while my family was not rich, we could get by comfortably. And that is why we felt that, you know, given what we have, we want to try and share it with other people. We want to give it out to the less fortunate that are around us, and we want to reach out to them. So that is why we decided to sponsor kids from the neighboring country. And the reason for that is because we believe that we have been blessed by Lord, and that we want to bless others as well. We have that love, and we want to share it out. this reminds me of the first sermon of the series, which is that we could give generously because of love. And the ability to give is an act of grace. This act of grace is from love. And that is why the Macedonian churches was able to give, and they were able to give generously even in times of extreme poverty. They understood that as Christians, we are supposed to give because we love and we have received that love. And similarly, that is what motivated my family to give, and that's the reason why we decided to sponsor children from the neighboring countries. And as I grew up in the love of Christ, as I grew up continuing to be in the church and to be surrounded with that love, I developed myself and I became a person, I continued to become a person that showed people that I care for them and I love them through my actions. So when I took my love language test, my love language is action. I like to do things for people that I care about. And I remember there was one time that this love carried over from my family to my friends to even people on the streets. And it's because of that love of Christ in me that resulted in my actions, which is the reason why I believe that is what similar to second sermon talked about, which is generosity is a signature of God's people. So the way I cared for others and helped others was a reflection of what I believed in. And Jesus was someone who was always ready to reach out to people. He was always at the front lines, ready to give to them and ready to do something for them. And that was where I got my example from. So when my family members needed help, I would spend time with them helping them. Or if my friends needed help, like they needed my car to ferry them around or help move things, I would be ready to help because that's the way I show that I care. And as a young man who was just starting out to part-time and to get some little bit of earnings, I was able to share what I had, that little amount that I had with my small group members when I was back in Singapore. I didn't mind paying for ice cream and the whole group of us going out so that we could bond and we could share and we could continue to connect and grow together as a group after dinner so that we could have more time together. And there was one thing that happened that struck me that was very similar to what we talked about in the second sermon, was that I had a friend in church and he was a foreign student. So when he just came to Singapore to study, he is not able to pay for church camp, but he really wanted to grow. He wanted to go and to join in that. So I did not tell him this, but what I did was I paid out of my own pocket and I decided to pay for his ticket and his camp fees. And it's because I have that love from Christ and I have that love from Jesus that told me that, you know, this is what I can do for my brother in Christ who needed it. I remember there was one time. There was this time when I was going home and I was by the lift. So there was this old lady who was carrying two big bags of groceries, and we were waiting for the lift for a very long time. And it turned out that there were two hooligans that decided that it would be fun to race up and down the block by pressing on every single floor. So I was upset because that old lady, she was trying to get home. She wanted to rest for a little bit. And there were these two hooligans who decided to do this kind of monkey business. So I stepped up and I helped the old lady. What I did was I spoke in a language and in a method that the hooligans could understand. And I told them that, hey, this is not right. And this is something that you should not be doing. So in my way that they could understand, I got them to apologize to the old lady and I got them to help the old lady instead to bring her things up to her place. And at the end, the old lady said that not many people would have stepped in. Most of them would have just walked off. And she said that generosity is not just about giving money, but about doing the right thing and stepping up at the right time to help the people in need. And that day, she gave me this nickname. It's called the Kind Hooligan. A hooligan who decided to use my methods that other people could understand and help the people in need. So this is something that I resonated with what Pastor Carson shared last week, which was that generosity is not difficult, right? It is something that is easy to come to us when we align ourselves with the treasures of Jesus. So when we have the same treasure as Jesus, it's so easy for us just to step up and to do it and to be generous. So as I grow up and I continue to mature, this was something that continued to grow in me. And sometimes I would question myself, like, hey, is this enough of what I'm doing, or can I do more? Is this method the right way to do it, or is there a different method that I can go about that can reflect this love that I have and continue to be generous, right? So I pondered about it, and for the past few weeks, we have been talking a lot about the different mindset, different concept of reaching out, the idea of reaching out. But some of us, we might think that it's just theory. It's a lot of words and not so much of actions, right? But what's one action that I can take? What is one action that we can put into our lives today? So, but a lot of us might be thinking, during this time, during this challenging time, it's so hard because, you know, financial situation, unknown, COVID, all these are different things that might want us to might make us want to have a bit more buffer and want us to have a little bit more space so that we could take care of ourselves a little bit more. I agree. I agree that it's very hard, and even during this time, that we tend to hold back. And the thing is, are we going to continue to talk about it and not do anything about it? So in Singapore, when we see people who are really good at talking but not doing anything, we call them NATO, N-A-T-O, which stands for no action, talk only. But today we're going to go from no action, talk only to now action, take opportunity. So for the past few sermons, we talk a lot about how we have faith in God that He provides. Now today, if we have that faith and if we believe, no matter what the situation is, we will be ready to obey and to carry out that calling has been given to us even during this time. So that leads me to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. So in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 51, Jesus tells us that we do not know when He will return, right? We will not know because He's going to come back at a time, suddenly. But we do need to be prepared for it. So he told this to His disciples in verse 44. He says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's telling us that we do not expect Him to come back. We are not ready for Him to come back. We do not know when He's going to come back. But He tells us that when He goes away, there's something that a faithful servant would do. And He said that to us in verse 45. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? He tells us that we are to be ready. We are to be ready for Him when He returns. But in the meantime, while we are waiting for Him to come back, we have to continue serving, and we're going to continue what He has started. So Jesus, what He did was He cautioned His disciples in verse 48 and 51. He tells them that, but if the wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drinks with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So He tells them that there's a consequence. There's a consequence when we are not a faithful follower. There's a consequence when we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing while waiting for Jesus to come back. So now let us keep that in mind, that this is towards Jesus' end of ministry, and this was towards the end of His time here. So He was about to be crucified, He was about to go on the cross, and He wants to tell His disciples, hey, you know, when I come back, right, there are things that you need to be doing. It's like a teacher who's telling his student, hey, this is the end of your exam, and right now I'm going to prepare you for it. I'm going to tell you that these are the tips you need, these are the things you need to study. So prepare for it, get yourself ready, so that when end of your exam comes, you will be ready for it, and you will be able to do well. So Jesus tells them what to do, and He also tells them what not to do. He tells them what not to do when He says that, hey, don't be someone who eats and drinks with the drunkard, because those people will not be welcome when I come back, all right? And Jesus continued to caution them and remind them in chapter 25. He uses the parable of the 10 virgins, He uses the parable of the talents to help them to understand what does it mean to be ready. So now this is the context that leads us right up to Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. So Jesus, right here, He starts by telling them that the Son of Man will come again. In verse 31, He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. So Jesus tells his disciple that when he comes back, all right, there will be judgment. There will be a time when he is going to sit on his throne and he's going to separate the people. So while people might confuse like sheep and goats, we should make that there's a distinction, there's a difference between the two of them, right? So if we look at the animals themselves, a sheep is someone who's mainly docile. They need a shepherd to guide them, and they would just be around grazing and they'll be mingling in a flock. But actually a goat is more free-spirited. A goat is an animal that would climb up on the mountains by the side just to get to a little bit of grass. So they are a lot more free and rebellious, all right? But there are times when the two would be mingled together and they might look the same, but there is a difference, all right? So why is Jesus using the example of a sheep and a goat, right? He's trying to say that there are two groups of people, all right? Even if they have the same claim, they're doing two different actions. So one group is the group that follows Jesus and uses their actions to show that they follow Jesus. The other group is claiming to follow Jesus, but their actions are not reflecting any of that. So it's just a claim. So the people, there are a group of people that just claim to follow, but their actions do not reflect that. So Jesus helps us to understand the difference between the goat and the sheep. So in verse 34 to 46, he states what the sheep will do and what the goat will do. So he explicitly tells us what will happen when he comes back again. And he also tells us what are the expectations of the people who follow him. So he clearly defines the two group of people, and here's the first group. So in verse 34, he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. So this was what he said to the sheep. And now he's saying to the goats now, so the ones on the left. In verse 41, he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, saying, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? So these are the two groups of people that Jesus described. So the sheep are people who fed him, gave water to him, clothed him, visited him, and welcomed him. But when Jesus said this to the people, they were confused. So if I were to put myself in that situation, I would be confused too, because this is Jesus just coming back. And I would be thinking, since when did I do this to you, Jesus? This is the first time you're coming back. This is the first time I'm seeing you and you're on the throne. When? When did I do any of these things to you? How could I do this to you if you just returned? But then Jesus said this for the people. When you did it for those who list of this, my brothers, you did it for me. So he's saying that if you did it to this kind of people who were hungry and you fed them, you're doing it to me. You're not only doing what I want you to do, but you're doing it to me, for me. So Jesus is telling us, if you do this to those who are in need, those who are less fortunate, you're doing this to me. By knowing this, we are doing this because of his love, and we are following his mandate. We are doing this because we have received his love, and that we have received that grace, and we are sharing it out, and we are giving it back. We are reaching out. So we understand that this passage is a call to action. Jesus is saying right here that if you keep in mind my return, when you look around you, you will see and you will be aware. You will be aware of the people who are in need. And when you do it to them, you're not just doing it on my behalf, you're doing it to me. And I feel that there's one key thing that we can take away from this passage. So works are actually a response. It's a response to this belief that we have. It's a response to that, the faith that we have. It's a response when we receive that love. Our actions and our thoughts are a way to respond to that belief that we have. It is true. It is true that works alone don't save us. But if we don't believe, there will be no works. If we don't have faith, there will be no works. If we don't have love, there will be no works. Works is a response to that love. Works is a response to that faith. And works is a response to the grace and mercy that we have received. So when we truly accept that and we truly understand that concept, our minds are changed. Our works come from inside of us. Changes come from inside. It makes our whole life change. And the way we see things are changed. And now we are focused on something that is different. We are focused on the same treasure that Jesus has. Our treasures is what treasures of Jesus. And that is what we are focused on. That is the kingdom. And that is what drives us to participate in the ministry of reaching out, in the ministry of giving to those who are in need. And this reminds me of a person from history. It's a lady who felt the call from God to help those in India. So she was someone who learned some basic medical training, and she set out to help the sick and needy. She traveled to places, she begged for food so that she could clothe the naked, so that she could feed the hungry, so she could give water to the thirsty. She often went hungry, she had next to nothing, and this lady is Mother Teresa. So I believe that she's a very good example that we can all look towards in terms of what it means to reach out, to give, and to give generously. She had nothing much, but she gave what she could. She gave beyond her means. And she did exactly what Jesus said in the passage. She went to the sick, she cared for them. She tried to clothe the naked. She welcomed the stranger. She fed the hungry. And her example of putting actions to words is one that inspired many more to help in the days to come. When we express our faith and obedience in waiting for Jesus to come back, we have to keep in mind that this is our new paradigm. This is the mandate that we want to follow. It is to reach out to others. It is to care for others. And personally, I am challenged as well. It is so easy to forget that we can help people in need, and it is so hard to reach out to people when we are so caught up with our own problems. When I'm wrapped up with my own issues, it's so hard to see that there are other people who I can help. And I once saw a picture that reminds me of what Jesus said. It is a picture of a man in the middle of the ladder, and he's reaching down. He's reaching down to help the person who's below him. It reminds me that we do not need to wait for someone who's in a better position to help. We are placed in a position where we can help others. We are in a position where we can help people who are less fortunate than us. We are given an opportunity to help others no matter where we are. And what's more, there's a saying that struck me really hard. It is, if everyone waits for someone else to do something, nothing is going to be done. If we are going to wait for someone else to do something, nothing else is going to be done. If I wait for, let's say, person A to do something, and person A is waiting for me to do something, we're going to be stuck playing the waiting game. We're just going to wait for the next person to do something. But actually, what is going to happen is we are in a position and we are given that opportunity to help. Are we going to just stand there and wait, or are we going to seize this opportunity and help? Jesus is telling us that if you don't help, if you don't seize that opportunity, there will be a consequence. Jesus tells us of that consequence in verse 45 and 46. Then he will answer them saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of this, you did not do it to me. And this will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Right here, Jesus is telling us there is a consequence, there is a price to pay. Jesus tells his disciples that if we see those who are suffering and we turn a blind eye and we turn away from them, there is a consequence. He has repeatedly emphasized this point. He emphasized it since chapter 24, verse 48 to 51. He said that where the wicked servant is cut in pieces and placed with the hypocrite, that is where Jesus started to remind them. He's reminding that if you are not a faithful servant, there will be a consequence. He said, do not be like this servant. No, don't be like him. And once more, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 45, 46, Jesus is telling his disciples what will happen. He's saying that if you're unable to do it, if you look away from it, the consequence is that you will go away into eternal punishment. Jesus is telling this right now. The time for words are over. Now is the time for action. Do not just be a no action, talk only, but change your mindset, become now action, take opportunity. And right now, as a church, we've been reaching out to different organizations. We are contributing to the efforts of the nonprofits to help those who are in need, such as the Doctors Without Borders, Union Gospel Mission, Compassion Canada, Mission Possible, Richmond Food Bank. These are just the different organizations that we have been helping. But aside from this, and this, as individuals, there are things that we can do as well. There are more things that we can do. So some might be thinking, okay, so what can I do? Well, Jesus has given us a very good example. We can follow and we can adopt and put it into actions in our daily lives. Let us go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 36. Right here it says, "For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And I was sick, you visited me. And I was prison, you came to me." So Jesus here talks about four different categories of things. He said, gave food and drink to me, you welcomed me, you clothed me, visited me and came to me. So these are four categories that we can apply it into our daily lives, a way we can reach out to people and be generous to them. So when Jesus said, gave food and drink to me, how? How can we give food and drink to people around us? Well, there are several ways that we can do that. And one way that the church has been doing is to reach out and to help some families in need to provide a meal a week for them. So by cooking a meal a week, it helps the family and who are dealing with certain situations. So it's not going to be much, but a simple meal will do. If you're interested, you could always reach out to Pastor Gabriel and he would provide you with more information. Well, that's one way that we can feed the hungry. Another way that I've heard about is from my Oikos, right? Some of the members, they would have carts ready. So what they would do is that they would have coffee carts, and if they come across people who are homeless or in need, they would just give them one of it. That's another way that we can help. It doesn't have to be much. It's just something simple. Another way for us to welcome people is that one way we can do it is we could reach out to people in church. It's very simple. 10 minutes a week, pick up your phone, call. Call someone and welcome them. See how they're doing. Reach out to them. You could take the 10 minutes, say, "Hey, how are you doing? Oh, how can I pray for you?" And take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, pray for the person and say, "God bless you this week." And you put out the phone. 10 minutes. It's not going to take a lot of time. Let them know you care. Let them know that you love them. When we come to clothe me, I believe that most of us, we would have clothes that we have not worn in years. Things that are just sitting in a closet thinking, "Hey, one day I'm going to wear that t-shirt. Hey, one day I'm going to wear that jeans again." I encourage you to donate them to Salvation Army. Donate them so that people who are in need could pick them up and use them. Do not let it sit in the closet. That's one way you can clothe people who are in need. If you don't know who you can give it to, you could always bring it to the church and the church will be able to help you to direct you to the right places. Another way you could do is, if you are good at making masks, you could make masks. Right now, there are a lot of different organizations that need masks to combat the situation. And if you do not know what you can do with it, reach out to the church and we'll be able to help you and direct you to the right places. When we come to visit me and came to me, well, we can care for the sick. We can send them a text. We can pray for them. Call them. Pray for their families. It's very simple. All you have to do is just to reach out. So these are things that we don't need to be fanciful. These are things that we don't need to do a big gesture. These are everyday things that we can put into part of lives. We can incorporate into us. But these are actions that we can take to show kindness to those who are around us. So now is the time. Now is the time for you to take this opportunity and turn it into your action. Stop being a NATO. Stop being a no action and talk only. Now is the time. Now action. Take opportunity. Let us pray. Father, I give thanks for you have given us mercy and grace. And I want to give thanks that you have given us the love. Lord, I pray that we could take these actions, these small little actions, and put it into our lives daily so that we can reach out to people who are less fortunate, reach out to the people who are in need. Lord, help us to be aware of those who are around us. Help us to reach out to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let us rise to respond to our God.
Narrow is our only sin. I'll follow where your Spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, every piece I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. With open hands, counting on your grace again. A list of me and more of you. I just want to see you move. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. Here I am, you can have it all, you can have it all. Here I am, here I am, you can have it all, you can have it all. Here I am, here I am. How you want to, God. Here we are. Oh. For the one who gave me life, nothing is a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have have your throne within my heart. I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available.
Yes, God, we are here. We are available. And we surrender you to you completely. Father, not my will, but yours be done. So God, use us how you want to. May your will be done in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us prepare our hearts for the communion. So the communion is open to all who receive Lord Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. So on the night that Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. He said, "This is the body of the Christ shed for you." And in the same fashion, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the covenant of my blood. Drink this as often and do this in remembrance of me." So as we partake in the communion today, let us remember the grace, the mercy, and the love of Christ Jesus. Remember those who have not received this yet, pray for them. So let us take some time to partake in today's communion. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks that you have died on the cross so that we can receive the love and that we can be part of your family. Lord, I just want to give thanks for all the things you have done for us, and we come before you on our humbled knees. Lord, I just ask of you to help us to remember those who are less fortunate, and help us to remember those that we can reach out to. Help us to be more like you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church, we have come to the end of our service today. We can continue to participate in worship through offering. There are different ways we can do it. There's online credit card, there's check, there's PayPal. So head over to mykac.ca to find out more. And in the month of May, what we have done is we have been having this reaching out campaign, and I just want to thank everyone for their eagerness to participate in this. And we have collected this amount of money that we can share and we can donate to the different organizations. And I want to give thanks that we are able to just reach out to all these people. And it's really a blessing that we can bless other people as well. So in the reaching out campaign, part of what we have done is for Richmond Food Bank, we've been collecting food, different kind of food. So we have collected 855 different items to be donated to them. And I just want to say good job. Good job in reaching out to these people and good job in being able to give even during this time. So even though this is the end of the reaching out campaign, I just want to encourage everyone. This is not the end. This is actually a start for us. Let us continue to keep this in mind as we continue to give, as we continue to reach out to the different people. And the last thing is, if this is your first time here, I want to welcome you warmly. And you can hit over to the QR code that we have on the screen, and you can reach out to us, and you can have more updates about the church. You can connect with the pastors. You can register for small group, register for classes. So we hope to hear from you. Now, let me read from Matthew chapter 5 to send us off. So taken from Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." God bless.